Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar and today Maseches Chulin Daf Yadal. The first parak Kol Shoychetin. The Zichru Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting Kinyan Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, HaShoychet B'Shabbos B'Yom Kippurim. If one shechs an animal on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, Afu Pishim is chayv b'nafsho, even though he becomes chayv with his life, meaning he incurs the death penalty on Shabbos and Karas in Yom Kippur, Shechitasu Kashera, his Shechita is still valid, and the meat may be eaten. Rav Huna quoted in Rav's name that although the Shechita is valid, Asur B'Achila Yoma, it's forbidden in consumption for that day, meaning it's prohibited until after Shabbos. This is inferred from the Mishnah's mentioning Shechti on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, suggesting a comparison between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, when the meat certainly cannot be eaten. And the colleagues in the yeshiva thought to say, in explanation of Rav's statement, that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who would forbid eating the meat on Shabbos itself. The Gemara embarks on a lengthy search to identify the relevant ruling of Rabbi Yehuda and why the meat is forbidden on Shabbos. Point number two, Rabbi Abba suggests that it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about hachana, preparation, meaning items lacking preparation for Shabbos. A Mishnah teaches that one may cut up a nevela on Shabbos for dogs to eat, but Rabbi Yehuda says that if it was not already a nevela before Shabbos, it's prohibited, because it was not something prepared for Shabbos use and is muksa. Here too, an animal which was shechted on Shabbos was not prepared the day before for Shabbos use and is muksa. Abai rejects the comparison because in the case of the nevela, mikara muchen la'adam, it was initially prepared for human consumption when it was alive when Shabbos began, v'hashta muchen la'kalavim, and now that it died, it's prepared for consumption by dogs. It is therefore muksa since it was not previously prepared for Shabbos use. In contrast, a shechted animal was always prepared for human consumption and should not be muksa. Although Rabbi Abba argues that a live animal was previously designated l'gadel for breeding and not consumption, Abai disproves this because if so, Rabbi Yehuda would not permit shechting animals on Yantav. And point number three, Rabbi Yosef suggests that it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about kalim. A Mishnah teaches that any kalim which are not muksa, which broke on Shabbos, shivrehen nitalin, their fragments may also be moved, provided they're fit to perform me'ein malacha, some sort of task, even if it's different from the original kli's function, for example, using pieces of a mixing bowl to cover a barrel. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, the fragments may only be moved if they can perform functions me'ein malachtan, similar to their original task, for example, using pieces of a mixing bowl for containing porridge poured into them. Since the shechted animal was not formerly usable as food, it is likewise muksa. Abai rejects the comparison. Regarding broken utensils, mikara kli, it was initially a utensil, v'hashta shever kli, and now on Shabbos, it became a fragment of a utensil. This is nolad, something newly created, and muksa. In contrast, an animal is food when it was alive, and food after being shechted, ucho de ifrosu, a shechted animal is merely food which was broken apart, and not a newly created item. This can be demonstrated from Rabbi Yehuda's permitting some cases of juice which flowed out of fruit, and he doesn't consider it nolad. The discussion continues on the next daf. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, HaShoychet B'Shabbos B'Yom Kippurim. If one shechs an animal on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, Afu Pishim is chayv b'nafsho, even though he becomes chayv with his life, meaning he incurs the death penalty on Shabbos or Karas on Yom Kippur, Shechitasu Kasherah, his Shechita is still valid, and the meat may be eaten. Rav Huna quoted in Rav's name that although the Shechita is valid, Asur B'Achila Yoma, it's forbidden in consumption for that day, meaning it's prohibited until after Shabbos. This is inferred from the Mishnah's mentioning Shechti on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, suggesting a comparison between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, when the meat certainly cannot be eaten. And the colleagues in the yeshiva thought to say, in explanation of Rav's statement, that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who would forbid eating the meat on Shabbos itself. The Gemara embarks on a lengthy search to identify the relevant ruling of Rabbi Yehuda and why the meat is forbidden on Shabbos. Point number two, Rabbi Abba suggests that it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about hachana, preparation, meaning items lacking preparation for Shabbos. A Mishnah teaches that one may cut up a nevela on Shabbos for dogs to eat, but Rabbi Yehuda says that if it was not already a nevela before Shabbos, it's prohibited, because it was not something prepared for Shabbos use and is muksa. Here too, an animal which was shechted on Shabbos was not prepared the day before for Shabbos use and is muksa. Abai rejects the comparison because in the case of the nevela, mikara muchen la'adam, it was initially prepared for human consumption when it was alive when Shabbos began, v'hashta muchen la'kalavim, and now that it died, it's prepared for consumption by dogs. It is therefore muksa since it was not previously prepared for Shabbos use. In contrast, a shechted animal was always prepared for human consumption and should not be muksa. Although Rabbi Abba argues that a live animal was previously designated legadel for breeding and not consumption, Abai disproves this because if so, Rabbi Yehuda would not permit shechting the animals on Yantav. And point number three, Rabbi Yosef suggests that it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about kalim. A Mishnah teaches that any kalim which are not muksa, which broke on Shabbos, shivrehen nitalin, their fragments may also be moved, provided they're fit to perform me'ein malacha, some sort of task, even if it's different from the original kli's function, for example, using pieces of a mixing bowl to cover a barrel. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, the fragments may only be moved if they can perform functions me'ein malachtan, similar to their original task, for example, using pieces of a mixing bowl for containing porridge poured into them. Since the shechted animal was not formerly usable as food, it is likewise muksa. Abai rejects the comparison. Regarding broken utensils, mikar kli, it was initially a utensil, bahashya shever kli, and now on Shabbos, it became a fragment of utensil. This is nolad, something newly created, and muksa. In contrast, an animal is food when it was alive, and food after being shechted, ucho de ifrosu, a shechted animal is merely food which was broken apart, and not a newly created item. This can be demonstrated from Rabbi Yehuda's permitting some cases of juice which flowed out of fruit, and he doesn't consider it nolad. The discussion continues on the next daf. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Yadal, and understand that Siman relates to a yad, a hand, and we use a juggler for the Siman, a juggler. So here goes. The juggler performing at a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, who was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, that he dropped his knives on a sheep, making it nevela, yet prohibited to cut up for the dogs, then broke some teacups he was juggling which couldn't be moved since they couldn't be used, main malachtan. Once again, slow motion. The juggler, that must move on Duff. Yadalad. The juggler performing at a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, who was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Asher Kibbutz Shabbos of Yom Kippurim. If one shechs an animal on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, Afu Pishma is chai b'nafsho, even though he becomes liable with his life, whether it's Mises Basin or Karas, Shechitas Kasher, his shechita is still valid and the meat may be eaten. Rapuna quoted in Rav's name that although the shechita is valid, asur b'chil yoma, it's forbidden consumption for that day, meaning it's prohibited until after Shabbos. And the colleagues in the yeshiva thought to say, in explanation of Rav's statement, that the Mishnah's Rabbi Yehuda, who would forbid eating the meat on Shabbos itself. The Gemara embarks on a lengthy search to identify the relevant ruling of Rabbi Yehuda and why the meat is forbidden on Shabbos. So the juggler performing at a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, who was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, that he dropped his knives on a sheep, making it nevela, yet prohibited to cut up for the dogs, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba suggests that it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about hachana, preparation, items lacking preparation for Shabbos. A Mishnah teaches that one may cut up a nevela on Shabbos for dogs to eat, but Rabbi Yehuda says if it was not already a nevela before Shabbos, it's prohibited, because it was not something prepared for Shabbos use and is muksa. Here too, an animal which was shechted on Shabbos was not prepared the day before for Shabbos use and is muksa. Abai rejects the comparison. So the juggler performing at a Shabbos Sheva Brachas was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, that he dropped his knives on a sheep, making it nevela, yet prohibited to cut up for the dogs, then broke some teacups he was juggling which couldn't be moved since they couldn't be used, made Malachtam, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef suggests, it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about kalim. A Mishnah teaches that any kalim which are not muksa, which broke for Shabbos, shivrehen nitalin, the fragments may also be moved, provided they're fit to perform me'in malacha, some sort of task, even if it's different from the original kli's function, for example, using pieces of a mixing bowl to cover a barrel. However, Rabbi Yehuda says the fragments may only be moved if they can perform functions me'in malachtan, similar to their original task, meaning using pieces of a mixing bowl for containing porridge poured into them. Since the shechted animal was not formerly usable as food, it's likewise muksa. Abai rejects the comparison. So once again, the juggler performing at a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, who was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, that he dropped his knives on a sheep, making it nevela, yet prohibited to cut up for the dogs, then broke some teacups he was juggling, which couldn't be moved since they couldn't be used, made in Malachtan. All right, so now it's time for a four blah blah chazara. Daf Yud, so the Siman Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The distracted Shochet and the minion of Yidden, that must be around Daf Yud. The distracted Shochet and the minion of Yidden, who discovered that he had a sakin paguma and didn't know if it was nicked before the Shechitorah or after it when he broke some bones, which reminds us, Amoraim discuss, HaShochet B'Sakin, if one shacks with a knife without examining it immediately before Shechita, beneath his paguma, and it's found afterwards to be nicked, Rav Huna says that even if he broke bones with it all day before it was checked, the Shechita is invalid because Chayshin Shema Bo'or Nifkama were concerned that perhaps it was nicked by cutting the animal's hide as it began shechting. Rav Chissa says the Shechita is valid since the knife may have been nicked when breaking a bone. So the distracted Shochet and the minion of Yidden, who discovered that he had a sakin paguma and didn't know if it was nicked before the Shechita or after it, when he broke some bones, davening next to a man who came from the Shul Mikvah and just noticed a chatzitza and realized his tevila was invalid, which reminds us Rav Chissa's challenge from a brayso, which teaches that a tamei who immersed in a mikvah and later discovered a chatzitza on himself, the tefillah is invalid, even if he handled the material the whole day after the tefillah, unless he certainly had no chatzitza beforehand. Thus, the suffix chatzitza does invalidate his apparent tefillah, and we do not assume the chatzitza developed afterwards. So the distracted Shochet and the minion of Yidden, who discovered he had a sakin paguma and didn't know if it was nicked before the Shechita or after it, when he broke some bones, davening next to a man who came from the Shul Mikvah and just noticed a chatzitza and realized his tevila was invalid, didn't notice that the shul was called Beis Chazok and was designed like a Beis Menuga, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Mahana Milsa Da'am Rabban, from where do we derive this concept? The rabbis say, okay, Milsa Acheske, keep a thing on its prior known status until proven otherwise. Rav Yonason brings proof from the law of Nigei Batim, Tzras afflictions of houses, where the Kohen is instructed to leave the house after examining the Nega and close off the house for 7 days. But perhaps as he goes out of the house, Batsuwa Shu'ura, the Nega shrinks to less than the minimum size and the closing off is ineffective. It must be that we establish the Nega on its prior Chazaka of a sufficient size. Daf Yud Alf. So the Simmer Daf Yud Alf is stars based on the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. When the majority of the Sanhedrin held up stars, that must more on Daf Yud Aleph. When the majority of the Sanhedrin held up stars that said guilty on them, sentencing the man who threw a star at his father to death, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the source of Aruba de Isa Kamon, a robe that's in front of us and brings Achri Rabim Lahatos. So when the majority of the Sanhedrin held up stars that said guilty on them, sentencing the man who threw a star at his father to death, and the guilty party unsuccessfully tried to claim maybe it's not really his father, which reminds us, the Gemara brings sources for Ruba de Lesa Kaman, where the majority is not in front of us. For example, the case where someone strikes his father and is to be executed. But let us be concerned that he's not actually his father, for it's impossible to know for certain who the father is, since the wife might have had relations and conceived from another man. Rather, it must be that we follow the majority, Veroba Ilos Akhar Abal, and most relations are with her husband, even if she was unfaithful. So when the majority of the Sanhedrin held up stars that said guilty on them, sentencing the man who threw a star at his father to death, and the guilty party unsuccessfully tried to claim maybe it's not really his father, one of the rabbis said that in a case where one can investigate, we should, because Hekad the Efshar, and we do not rely on the robe, which reminds the Gemara, says, V'dilma heicha de efshar. Perhaps where it's possible to avoid relying on robe, it's possible and we do not rely on it. But heicha de lo efshar, lo efshar. Where it's not possible to avoid relying on the robe, it's not possible, so we must rely on robe. Meaning, although there are indeed cases which require relying on robe, perhaps we do not rely on robe when it can be avoided, such as examining all the possible defects after Shechita, or a katan and katana regarding Yibum, where they can wait until becoming gedolim. This objection stands, and Rashi says that relying on robe must be derived from Halacha Moshe Misinai, or from Achrei Rabbi Mahatos. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simran Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. When 6 of 12 brothers, 12 brothers, that must be more on Daf Yud Beis. When 6 of 12 brothers, who were so excited when they found a shechted hen in the marketplace and knew they could take it home since Rob Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita Mumchin Hen, which reminds us, it was taught in Bryce Hari Shematza Tarnagos Shchuta Bashuk. If one found the shechted hen in the marketplace, or he told his shuyach to shecht his hen, and later found it shechted, Cheskasul Shachut, it's presumed to be shechted properly. This proves that Rob Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita Mumchin Hen. Most people who are involved in Shechita are experts, so we assume that whoever shechted it was an expert. So, when 6 of 12 brothers were so excited when they found the shechted hen in the marketplace and knew they could take it home since Rov Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita Mumchin Hen, while 5 others were so distracted when they watched a man throwing a knife against a wall that happened to shecht a cow, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, who's the Tanu who holds the Lobi Inin Kavanu Shechita, that we do not require the slaughterer to have intent for Shechita? Rava says, as Rabbi Nassan, as Rabbi said, teaches, Zark Sakin Lenoet Sabakosa, if one threw a knife to plunge it into the wall, And it went and shechted the correct way as it flew towards the wall. Rabbi Nassan says the shechita is valid, but the Chachamim say it's invalid. The halacha follows Rabbi Nassan. So when 6 of 12 brothers, who were so excited when they found the shechted hen in the marketplace and knew they could take it home, since Rob Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita, Mumchin Hen, while 5 others were so distracted when they watched a man throwing a knife against the wall that happened to shecht a cow, the youngest brother was left behind in a sandbox with a pomegranate he hauled out to measure sand, making it a kli, Tibi Makabal Tuma, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan asks, Katin Yeshu Machshava or Einul Machshava? Does a minor have halachically significant thought, or does he not have thought? A Mishnah teaches that an acorn, pomegranate, or walnut, which children hauled out to measure sand in them, or fashioned to be a pan and a scale, are susceptible to tumah as utensils, mifnei sheisha and ma'isa, because children have the capability for halachically significant act, the einah and machshava, but they do not have the capability for halachically significant thought, meaning if they declare they would use the shell as a kli without fashioning it, it's not susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Yochanan's inquiry is explained on the next daf. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. While the bar mitzvah boy, that must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. While the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went to the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, which reminds us, a katan who brought a produce onto the roof does not subject it to tumah, even if he intended it to be wet, because a katan's intent is ineffective. Rabbi Yochanan added that if he turned the produce over once it was wet, it is susceptible to tumah since his intent is apparent from his action. So while the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went onto the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, and found a goy shechting there who shechita is mutar b'na, because in chutzlarts goyim aren't assumed to be idol worshippers, which reminds us, Gemara discusses if shechita ben akum is mutar b'na and not assumed to be for idolatry. Rabbi Baravua answers, Ein rov ovde chochavim minim. Most Gentiles are not minim. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Gentiles outside Eretz Yisrael are not sincere idol worshippers, el minhag avosen biyadein. Rather, it's merely the practice of their ancestors in their hands. So the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went to the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, and found a goy shechting there whose shechita is mutar b'na, because in chutzlarts goyim aren't assumed to be idol worshippers, next to a yid shechting at night and in the dark, which is kosher b'di'evad, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hashoichet b'layla, if one shechs at night, they can assume a sheshachat, and similarly, if a blind person shechs, the shechita is valid. The Mishnah's language implies that shechita at night is only valid b'di'evad after the fact, but not permitted l'chadchila, since he can't see if he's cut both simanim. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah's case is when it was dark, as opposed to when a torch was lit near him, in which case it is mutter l'chadchila. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do you win the Katanim Yesh Lehen Maisa Ve'ein Lehen Machshava? That's on daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we win the Reviewta says, fragments of a broken kli on Shabbos may only be moved if they can perform functions Me'ein Molachtan, similar to their original task. That's on daf Yud Dalet. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss the difference between shechting or cutting meat with a knife used for avodah zarah? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss sources for ruba delesi kaman, a majority that is not in front of us? For example, a case where one strikes his father, and we question whether the father is really his father. That's on daf Yudalev. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we in the Rebuta says that if an animal is not already in Avela before Shabbos, it's prohibited to cut up the meat for the dogs, levi she'ena mina muchan? That's on daf Yadalad. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you discuss if shechita ben akum is murta b'na, and then we learn that Gentiles outside Eretz Yisrael are not sincere idol worshippers? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf to discuss what the din is in a case of a tameh who was tovel and later discovered a chatzitza? That's on daf Yud. Good. Number 8. Which daf to win that shechita on Shabbos is valid, but the mission prohibits eating the meat on Shabbos? That's on daf Yud Dalet. Good. Number 9. Number 4. Which daf to win that tarovus of damai is permitted? That's on daf Vav. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we discuss the case where a katan turned over produce, which he brought up to the roof, making it susceptible to tumah? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.